B-Pod Studios.
Amazing. It's amazing.
Pedro, I need a little optimistic Pedro. Give me something, Red Sox fans.
Yeah. Everything is gonna be all right.
Hey, get in here.
Hi, Jack. How are you?
Hi, Bob.
Hey, Jack, how are you? Baseball.
Morning. How we doing? Baseball. You're all good. No complaints. Man and Bobby Feller. Morning. The scooter, morning. The barber and the nuke. Kind of like the red carpet at the Oscars. Boston to
the oh, yeah. Special
morning. Morning.
Mickey and the Duke. 98.5 is Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. We have with us a gentleman who has been ecstatic despite the world crumbling around him in Red Sox land. Probably one of the weirder spring trainings I can think of in a long, long time, but it doesn't matter when you're Dan Roach because everything is beautiful. Dan, I love your videos of just unbridled positivity. By the way, Dan on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. It's got to be, is it still euphoric seeing that basically things are a disaster right now?
In my world, yes. Everyone else, no. When it comes to the Red Sox, it's certainly not the best way to open up camp with, Mookie Betts. You're one of the superstar top five players in the game being traded. One of the guys that helped to pitch and lead you to the World Series just in 2018 gone. There's no manager yet to be named. And the MLB investigative report into sign stealing in the 2018 team hasn't come out just yet. Other than that, everything is fine as we begin camp here.
Were you the first reporter there? Because you made that video yesterday morning. Were you the first reporter to arrive at JetBlue Park for spring training?
Yesterday, I think I was. I was in the a handful of guys. Johnny Miller's always the first guy. He comes down in December, and he's just down the street in a hotel, and he's here at the park every day at 4 o'clock in the morning. So he's got that reign, the legend that we know, Johnny, from WBZ radio fame. So he's that guy. I was here yesterday bright and early just to get a jump on things because you just didn't know what was going to happen, and it just was a long day as we waited for Haim to talk. But, yeah, it's good to be here. It's just so great. It's weird this year because of all the stuff going on. We came down a little bit early, and there's just not the stuff going on that you love. Like, I love getting out of the car and walking by the batting cages and hearing that. It hasn't happened yet. So it's getting there, but it's just kind of a strange feeling. But, yeah, you just got to love to be around the game, the grass, the ball, the, good stuff. Just good stuff.
The uncertainty, the questions. I thought yesterday they were going to announce who the manager was, like definitively. I think they were going to come out and make an announcement, but they still haven't. What are they waiting for, Dan?
I think that's all on MLB. You know what I mean? I think that they're waiting for the investigative report to come out and clear anybody internally with this Red Sox team. And that would be, as we know, Ron Renicki, who's expected to be named the manager. They just want to make sure, because you just don't know what this whole thing, the way it's unfolded from Houston now to Boston, and guys in Houston throwing Alex Cora under the bus, yet we find out it was an intern who came up with the idea in 2016 when Cora wasn't even there. So I think the Red Sox are just trying to play it safe with Major League Baseball. What they may do is, they might have to, come out and say, hey, he's our interim manager starting today, because they're going to be on the field starting tomorrow to work out. So that might be a plan, or they might name him manager if they get clearance from Major League Baseball to say, he's clean when it comes to this report. But that's the problem with it right now. They go hand in hand, and that's why it's taken so long for them to name Ron Renicki.
See, that makes me nervous for two reasons. One, then all this talk about, the Red Sox know what's coming down. It's going to be an easy punishment. Well, they obviously don't, because they don't know what Ron Renicki's situation is with it, or they would have named him the manager at this point. So I think that whole, all of the different sources that are coming out saying, the Red Sox, they know how this is going to turn out. It's got to be BS, or they would have named him, correct?
Well, I agree with you to an extent. I think, everybody that I've talked to, and that's both inside and outside the organization, have told me that, they don't expect it to be, anywhere near what the Astros had. So what does that mean? You know what I mean? Like, if you say anywhere near what the Astros had, well, that was pretty severe with the banging of trash cans and everything. So how involved were they in that video replay room? I think that's the big thing. J.D. Martinez came out adamant, about it, said, we did nothing wrong, so I don't worry about it. But you do have to worry about it. But I also think if you have to play it safe, I agree with what you're saying, And I think that's why the Red Sox are probably doing the same thing. Like, hey, you know, what happens if all of a sudden their names for this, this, or this, and we don't know about it? Because let's face it, they're sitting down with how many players? They're sitting down with people around the organization trying to get to the bottom of it, and we just don't know. So, yeah, it's a little bit of a red flag if you're watching this from afar. But, you know, I think that's the best that you can do right now if you're the Red Sox is you want to try to name Renicki the manager.
Okay, you mentioned that report that came out about the intern kind of being the mastermind and the GM of the Astros with the sign-stealing thing. And matter of fact, in that Wall Street report, I don't think Alex Cora's name is mentioned once. So the notion would be that you would be able to derive from that is that maybe the Red Sox jumped the gun in getting rid of Alex Cora. So let's say that maybe Alex Cora wasn't as involved as everyone was saying it is. And do you think, like, how do you handle it? Because they obviously loved Alex Cora. The organization loved Alex Cora. The players loved Alex Cora. Could you see them bringing him back and naming Renicki? How do you get around that? Because you can't really name a manager if you know it's just a temporary thing until you're able to bring back Alex Cora. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you know, there's a couple layers to this one. The one is, remember, Manfred said in that investigative report that he put out about the Astros, he said, I'm waiting to see what's in the Red Sox investigation to make judgment or to rule or come down with something on Alex Cora. So that leads you to believe that there's still a possibility Cora, much like A.J. Hinch and Jeffrey Luhnow, the general manager, could get suspended by the commissioner for what happened in Houston if he feels he was one of the key, I don't think ringleader is the right word anymore, but if he was one of the key guys of the banging on the trash cans with Houston, he may suspend him for a season anyway. Now, if he finds more on Cora or doesn't find anything, that may not change his opinion. So it's pretty much up to the commissioner. So with that said, you know, there could be an agreement here with Lon Renicki, who's 63 years old, has managed before. He said he loved coaching. He said being a manager is a challenge, but he would do it. I could foresee, you know, Renicki being named the manager for a year and then see how it goes because things can change and everything else. And then Cora could come back after that, after he serves a suspension. Or if they just want to let cooler heads prevail, let this issue go past them, then they could just say, Renicki, take the helm, and then Alex, you come in after a year. Now, the wildest scenario would be for them to come down with nothing, you know, no punitive, no punishment, nothing really major, and then to come back and say, you know, because of that, we never said we fired Alex Cora, we said we mutually parted ways. Then, you know, perhaps they come in one day and, you know, introduce Alex Cora into the clubhouse, and the players would go crazy and everything else. So, again, it's all part of the layers of the things that are going on here in Fort Myers.
What if he doesn't get punished? Like, what if Alex Cora doesn't get punished? Do they bring him back?
Absolutely, there's a possibility of that. Sure.
Is that why they're waiting? Do you think?
Maybe. And again, like, you know, you wonder, you know, how much John Henry is in touch with Rob Manfred, or if Hein Bloom is in touch with the, you know, Major League Baseball Investigative Office. You just wonder. You know, I've been told as far as the manager is concerned, the former manager, now Alex Cora, I keep being told to wait and watch how things unfold. Wait, that Cora may be exonerated more so than we think and wasn't as involved as we think. Face it, they threw him out of the bus in Houston because it was the easiest thing to do.
Yeah, because the hammer
wasn't there.
Yeah, and the hammer was coming down on Cora a week ago. Like, up until a week ago, all we had heard is that he was the guy. He was the linchpin behind all of this. And now, when that new report, which was taken directly from emails between the Houston Astros and Rob Manfred, we're learning that that is not the case. So you're telling me that that you're hearing that there might be a situation where Alex Cora doesn't get punished at all?
I don't know that. You know, it wouldn't surprise me. If he didn't get a harsh punishment, if he got no punishment, then that would be interesting. But I've been told to just kind of, you know, chill out and wait until everything comes out in this whole investigation when it comes to Alex Cora's role in anything in both Houston and Boston. So does that translate into no punishment? Does it translate into he comes back as manager? I don't know that. You know, it would be a guess that he could possibly come back. But, you know, when all is said and done, I think he may get something from Manfred on the Houston thing. And then he would sit out a year and maybe come back next year.
All right, so yesterday, the GM and Hein Bloom, they came out there and they answered questions. Did we ever find out what the the final offer that they gave Mookie was?
No, we haven't found out that yet. The only thing we had was, you know, Lou Maloney's reported that it was 10 for 300 last offseason. And then it was a counter of 12 and 420. I've been told, you know, through the grapevine that the Red Sox were, A, maybe not wanting to go anywhere near 12 years, and that the money, you know, to pay $400 million to someone was just kind of what they were, they maybe wanted to get away from at this point. So, you know, we never found out what the final offer was. We know Mookie, you know, was happy here. Guys loved him in that clubhouse. I think it's just kind of one of those things where two parties wanted to do what they wanted to do. It's almost like the totally different, but in some ways like the Brady situation where Mookie wanted to go out and test the free agency market. And I think the Red Sox didn't want to wait for that, especially with the ability to get under the luxury tax. Now, they, you know, Himes said last night that it had nothing to do with the CBT and getting under it. To me, this was an easier way to get under it, especially if you're going to go with the fact that, hey, we're not going to sign this guy. Go out and get three minor leaguers, and let's kind of go from there. And you get rid of half of the contract of David Price, so you free up money for the future, too. And I think they kind of said, you know what, Heim, it's your team. What do you want to do? And he said, this is what I'd like to do going forward. And they just went with that plan.
What's their pitching rotation this year?
It could be, let me see, it'll be, you know, Hale, Eovaldi, Eduardo Rodriguez, and then it'll be probably Martin Perez, the veteran that they signed. And then it could be Rich Shurtleff, it could be Fred Fetcher, it could be Dan Roach, it could be Johnny Miller.
Does that not make you nervous, especially like in this trade? They didn't even get any pitching back. And I mean, that's, you get rid of David Price, say what you will, he was their best pitcher last year when he was healthy, obviously. But I mean, yeah. And now, you know, you don't even have the guy who could throw 100 but was kind of broken. You don't have any of that. You got no return with an arm.
Yep. Hold on one second. Hey, Mike. Thinking Chris Sale may be arriving here as we speak.
You should go say hi to him. He probably wants that.
No, I might. Maybe we'll do it live. We'll see as we go. But
say, hey, Chris Sale. Who's, no, tell me the rotation.
Here's what's going to happen is the problem is they've got to build depth in the rotation, and it may not happen right now. It may happen as the season goes along. I mean, one of the things that Heim is being brought in for is, you know, to add depth. They've added it with some names you don't know yet, but that's kind of what they've done and what he's done over his career, what Tampa has done over his career. Maybe lesser-known guys to pad in and fill in as you go. This is a challenge. But, again, remember, they're going to score a ton of runs. You know, they're not certainly the paper, you know, the paper favorite coming in. We know the Astros. We know the Yankees are just stacked, and the over-under, I think, is 103 on the Yankees. But just, you know, it's kind of one of those seasons. Let it unfold here. It may be a work in progress, as you know, and Heim does some things to maneuver his way around and get the roster where he wants to get it. But I think you just got to give him time to kind of see what fills in. And it may not be names right away. But, you know, the other factor there too, Rich, is we don't know if Sale and Eovaldi will be healthy. That's another problem too. So we'll see.
Is that Chris Sale? Is he walking towards you?
Yeah, no, it's not him.
Who was it?
I think it was the chef. He's got a nice truck.
She tells the chef good morning. He'll probably enjoy that. You probably feel left out seeing that you're saying it to everybody else who's walking through. So where are they in the AL East? Are they the third best team?
But certainly right there on paper, yes, right now coming in because of the Tampa rotation. But again, we've gone through seasons where we've seen, you know, the greatest team ever, the back page of the Boston Herald, you know, how many years ago. We've seen teams surprised and not surprised. And you can say that's like, oh, it's just a homer thing. No, it's not. It's just the way baseball goes. You know, things don't go as always predicted. Lately, yes, because of the parity in teams, how bad Baltimore and others are. But, you know, with this offense and everything else, and again, it depends on the situation with Ron Renicki and the interim manager. It depends if Cora ever came back. So I think this year, if you said realistically, what's it going to be? It's going to be a Heim start to put your stamp on a team, Renicki guide the ship for a bit, and then kind of go starting in 2021. But you just never know. I mean, that's kind of, I hate to be corny and everything else, but that's my life. It's just, you know, until they go out and play, you just don't know.
Hey, Dan, that's Joe Mario. I just wanted to ask you your thoughts on possibly MLB expanding the playoffs, going from 10 teams to 14.
I had to take some time to let it unfold. I could go on a soapbox and go on about 50 things that I'd like to see changed in the game. To me, you know, if it gets the fans excited, if it gets younger fans excited, fine, why not try it? see if it works. And the worst thing is you go back to what you did. I mean, I kind of look at that like so many things in the game. You know, I get looked at 10 different ways when I say to like a veteran writer or something like that, hey, I'd like to see him shorten the season to 150 games instead of 162. I'd like to see them play doubleheaders on Sunday every now and then where they let kids in for free. I'd like to see so many things change in the game. I'd like to see the pitch clock, which we've seen in the minor leagues, bend to many a game. You don't even notice it as the season goes on. I want them to do anything and everything to change the game, not to the point where it's making a mockery of the game, but to where it gets back to where it needs to be. And it's like, I feel like the old, you know, I'm disappointed in Manfred. I thought like he'd be the guy once they nailed the Astros, like get the MLBPA, get the owners, get himself in a room and come up with proposals. Guys, we're thinking of this for the playoffs. We're thinking of this for the game. We're thinking of this to speed up the game. We're thinking cutting back on this, expanding on that. But I haven't seen any of that, and I think baseball's missing out on that opportunity right now.
Oh, don't be sad, Rochie. We need some positivity in our lives. All of a sudden, you're getting sad on us.
It's all good. You know, there's a nice cool breeze down here. It's about 75 degrees, and life is good. It's all. I could stay here every day. I could go Groundhog Day. Same routine, same thing. Get up at 6 a.m., listen to you guys, get my sports, you know, whatever happened overnight and everything else. Get to the park about 7:20, stop at Dunk's on the way. And then just watch the players come in, watch it go out for the workout, clubhouse availability. I could do this every single day until they leave in April, and I'd be happy as could be.
Need a little tune to get you going?
Sam and Dave. He's gone. What about Porcello? No, he's gone. Mookie. Oh, no, he left. He's gone. Oh, what? What'd he do? They knew them all. Nobody knows the players. Oh, just prove it.
Who's the backup catcher?
Plawecki.
Who?
Plawecki. Kevin Plawecki.
Ah, Plawecki fever.
How about the second baseman?
Huh?
Who's the second baseman?
Jose Peraza, who had a good year 2 years ago for the Reds. He could be a leadoff hitter if things go well this spring for him. So,
no Brock Holt?
There you go.
No Jeter Downs?
It could be Jeter Downs. What a great name, isn't it? But, I thought they did pretty well with that trade, so better than they had it. So guys to keep an eye on. He's only 21 years old. He can hit home runs. He's one of 10 guys in all of minor league baseball to hit at least 20 homers and steal 20 bases last year. He's probably your second baseman of the future to go with Bogart. So I thought they did pretty well.
Well, make sure you say hello to him real loud when he walks up and put a video up, okay? At Rochie WBZ. I'm enjoying these.
Yes.
All right, Dan. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning.
Yeah, we're talking for a week or so I'm looking forward to it. And you can catch it all on WBZ TV as well.
Of course. All right. Thank you, Dan Roach. We appreciate it.
See you, fellas.
See you, man.
It's kind of like the red carpet at the Oscars.
How are you guys?
Morning.
Morning. Morning.
Those are the kind of videos you can see at Roachy WBZ. The one thing he said that I thought was interesting was that maybe the reason that they're holding off on naming a manager is what if Cora does get exonerated? I mean, because if that report comes out and they're not going to punish him, they're bringing him back in a second.
He's the best option.
Of course he's the best option. Everyone loves him.
The media, they were afraid of what the outcome could be about this. If Cora coming back, everyone would be all for it.
Oh, of course they would. So, and by the way, you want to talk about one nice positive PR thing that they would have over the past, 2 months, however long it's been, and it's all been negative, negative, negative. You bring back Alex Cora, you get a nice little bump there, nice little pop.
Sure.
Finally, you move the needle upwards instead of, or to the right instead of the left. Oh, man. And then Dan's not going to be able to stay away from him. 617-779-0985. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Five Sports, of it is Touch and Rich. Joe Murray, thanks for filling in this morning. You're here tomorrow too, right?
I'm here tomorrow. Yep.
Yeah. Well, hopefully Fred is. He'll be hopefully back tomorrow. And Joe's filling in for Johnny Wallgame, who's down in Houston right now, hanging out with Mike Gorman. We just talked to him a minute ago. By the way, somebody said, speaking of punishments, talking about Alex Cora, whether or not he's punished, they said, speaking of punishments, what's up with the NFL dragging their feet on the videotaping thing? I know. I don't know. Somebody said, I'm starting to think that the NFL is dragging its feet, waiting to see what goes down with Brady to see how hard to punish them. Some of these things are settled so damn quick, and then some things it takes forever. I don't know how many people you have to interview to get an answer on that. And to be quite honest, I've kind of stopped caring. And I think the NFL did the minute the Patriots got knocked out of the playoffs. I think I was like, all right, well, we can take our time. This is not something that anybody even cares about. The buzz about it, even during Super Bowl week, when everyone's talking about everything that's happening, everyone's talking about where Brady's going to go. No one's talking about the punishment. And I believe that everyone seems to believe that it's not going to be anything big anyway. Once that report came out, I think people just kind of lost interest. All right, I do want to ask you about this, Joe Murray, because you are somebody who likes to snap back at people on Twitter. If they, you know, try to call you out, you get right back at them. And being someone like you who gives picks, you know, you're always going to get somebody who goes, oh, well, thanks for that. You know, you're not going to win every pick you give out.
Like, I've gone 9-1 before. And I couldn't have gone 10-0, you know.
Yeah,
I had bad college basketball day on Saturday.
Okay, well, but
2-9.
But still, the reason we continue to have you and Dan Lifshatz on is obviously because you're snazzy dressers. But on top of that, because your record's good overall, it's a good record.
Both between 58 and 60%.
If you can be over 50%, and if you're at 60%, that's even better. Everyone knows who gambles. That is a good track record. And you're accountable online. You put this stuff out there. But people are always going to snap at you no matter what because of the one pick that they took that they didn't like. And then there's athletes who go out and, you know, might stink up the joint or even they're amazing and they still feel the need to have to clap back to people on Twitter. And then there's Kevin Durant.
Is he back at it again?
So Kevin Durant got busted having a burner account. And he tweeted something. He forgot to switch between his burner and his regular account. And people busted him on it. And he admitted that it was him. And he said he was going to get rid of it. Well, he did an interview on Showtime. What's the name of the show? It's called, like, Smoked Out. All the Smoke is what it's called. And Kevin Durant was talking about that. And it sounds like he's got a new burner account.
Back in the day, pre-social media, whatever they put out is the truth. And we never had a platform. Yep. You know what I mean? So that's why I love it when you're out here. I didn't like to use a burner phone. I would have said, I'm Kevin Durant. I'm going to cuss you out. You talk some shit. I'm going to speak my mind. You
I'm still going to do the burner thing. I'm still going to do that.
You still on it?
Yeah. It's some that you just got to be like, these folks are always.
I'm saying, bro, I'm saying if I'm you, like, you know, if you come for me, I'm coming back.
You. For sure. Certain people, I'm going to come back on my regular account. But if I'm going to try and do my thing,
hey,
I'm going
to look out.
You know what I mean?
Look out.
I got the burner.
It's still out there. It's lurking.
I just slipped up that one time.
I will never understand Kevin Durant doing that. You're a top five player in the league. You don't have to prove anything to anybody, and you have a burner account. Now, it's one thing to just snap back to people on Twitter, whatever. But to have a fake account to do it, I don't know why. What, like, it's like him, Kyrie Irving. Like, some of these guys are so damn sensitive when they don't need to be. Well, Kyrie Irving, I mean, I understand why he's a plague to these teams. But have you ever been blocked by anyone on Twitter? Like, an athlete? Has an athlete ever blocked you before?
No, but Dan Lifshatz, oh my God, that guy's been blocked by everybody, I feel like.
Okay, now why does he get blocked? Like, what does he say to get blocked?
He argues with people. I mean, that's how Dan makes friendships. He argues with you. That's just what he does.
It sounds like my family.
When we first met each other, he didn't like me.
I took my mother, I took my wife to go meet my mother's family one time. And she's one of 9 kids. We're all like, I mean, it's like a giant Catholic family. And it was like uncles and aunts and everybody. And she was astounded that all anyone did was argue with each other. Like, you would show up and just like, whatever you see, you can say the sky is blue. No, it's not. You know, it's a light shade of red right now. It was blue earlier today, but it's not right now. Oh, well, you're wrong. Oh, water is wet. Well, not always. It can, you know, it's not always wet. If it's dry ice, it's not. And that's all my family did. They just lived. They lived to argue. And that was kind of how you bonded. And now Bird is like running all around. But it almost sounds like that's kind of what Lifshatz is like. And then why was he blocked by these athletes?
Well, I know Vegas Dave.
He's got some of his ass for Vegas Dave. I don't know what's going on there.
The RJ Bell thing, we'll save that for another day. I'll take the high road on that one. But yeah, he's been blocked. I don't know what athletes have, but I know reporters, like national reporters and stuff, have blocked him.
Okay.
But athletes, I don't know. I'll have to look into it.
All right.
I think Pedroia's blocked a bunch of people here in the area.
So I'm blocked by Ben Roethlisberger, and I don't know why. Yeah, so it was funny because I think Mike was the one who told me that, and I went to Ben Roethlisberger's account, and I was blocked too. And I don't know why, what I said or what I did. Nick is maybe just blocked the whole show. I don't know what we said or what, but I'm blocked by Roethlisberger. I think the only other person that I know I'm blocked by is Curt Schilling, but that's understandable. I know why. I mean, obviously, we kill Curt Schilling.
I wonder if Zoe's blocked by a few athletes.
Travis Kelce? Possibly. Are you blocked by an athlete and you don't know why? 617-779-0985. Or has an athlete ever gotten so pissed off at you that they've started a Twitter fight with
you? How do you know that you're blocked? You just find out?
So you click on their account and it says this account has been blocked.
But like I can't like go to a list to see who's blocked me?
No, I don't think so. I don't think you can. Maybe you can. I mean, you might know more about it than I do, but I don't think so. But I went to Ben Roethlisberger. It was funny. It was after Mike said something. I went to the account and said, you've been blocked by Ben Roethlisberger. And I'm not quite sure how that happened. But I mean, you never win either. If you're like, and I say this to guys in radio too, like if you get in fights with people on Twitter, you never end up being the good guy that ever. It doesn't work out. You get that 1 minute of like, oh, well, I'll show this guy. And then after you're done, you're like, all right, well, I look like a jackass. But there's, and on top of that, people get in trouble. They get fired for doing that. And on top of that, you need to just get a lesson in getting thicker skin. If you're in the public, I think you just kind of got to sometimes suck it up. 617-779-0985. Meanwhile, Bird is nowhere near the phones.
And Bird is nowhere the camera, too.
All right, we will do that, plus the stack. The Oscars were on Sunday, but so were the Razzies, the awards for the worst movies that came out last year. We'll get to that. 617-779-0985.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Sports Hub headlines.
Lots of beans at the Garden last night. Bean Pot, Northeastern, BU tied the game, went in the double overtime, and then Northeastern got the 5-4 win on a Jordan Harris goal on the power play. There was a controversy. On a penalty beforehand, but Jordan Harris, the winner. Northeastern has won three straight bean pots, and they'll be hockey again tomorrow at the Garden when the Bees host Montreal. The Celtics continue their road trip tonight in Houston. John Wallach, Cedric Maxwell on the call. All the coverage begins at 9 p.m. We get the tip-off at 9:30. Jason Tatum named NBA Eastern Conference Player of the Week. Red Sox pitchers and catchers officially report to camp today. Looks like Chris Sale was making his way in. We saw Christian Vasquez there earlier today. Dan Roach was saying hello to everybody. And he likes the idea of Major League Baseball discussing changes to the playoff format that could increase from 10 to 14 teams beginning in 2022. Headlines, they are brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. For you.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
.985 of Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich. Joe Murray's in here this morning. It's Stack brought to you by Window Nation. It's Window Nation's buy two, get two free sale. No down payment, no payments, and 0% financing for 12 full months. That's windownation.com. Real quick, a couple of things. So I had mentioned that out of nowhere, I found out that I was blocked by Ben Roethlisberger. And I think it all came from Mike Lockhart on the show was going to go find something on his Twitter account. And he said, I've been blocked. And then Nick said, I've been blocked. And I went and I checked and I had been blocked. So and now I've got a bunch of people from the station who are tweeting me saying that they are also blocked by Ben Roethlisberger. And Joe, you've done some digging. And of course, who's the guy who does the most digging than anybody that we know? Mr. Michael Hurley's on the case, right?
Yeah. What's got Mike Hurley so angry this morning? Well, back on April 7th.
This is an article that Hurley wrote, right?
2017. Looks like Ian Rappaport had it, but it looks like a lot of people have been blocked by Ben Roethlisberger. Field Yates, Katie Nolan, Michelle Beadle, Lance Erline, of course, Michael Hurley as well. But there's like a lot, Sean Pendergast out in Houston. Like there's a laundry list of people that are blocked by Ben Roethlisberger, and they wrote an article about it.
So you know how long it's got to take to block all of those people? Like, Bert, you are not blocked, right? Okay, well, you're our insider then. That is weird. Like, I mean, Christian Arcan just tweeted me and said that he's blocked. I mean, like, it's almost like he went to the radio station website and went through everyone's Twitter and blocked everybody. I don't know if that's the case, but I mean, when Nick is blocked, you've really gone down the list. We were just talking about people who have blocked you. This is Jimmy Murphy. We've had him on the show before. He said Isaiah Thomas, when he thought he should be able to share the spotlight on Paul Pierce's number retirement night, I called him out for it, and he came firing back at me. I actually got death threats. He said, by the way, how's your career going since then, IT? As I said then, you were not worthy of that. Will never be. Hey, don't be mean to Isaiah Thomas. The guy bled green for him. All right, so there you go. I'll take this real quick. Let's go to line one. Joey, what's up, man? You're on Touch and Rich.
Hey, guys. Hey.
Hey.
So it's been a while. I've been blocked by a couple of people that aren't really important, like a staffer from the Stern Show and stuff like that. But I may or may not have asked a certain Red Sox pitcher when he was going to pay back the state of Rhode Island, and poof, blocked.
Mr. Kurt Schilling does not enjoy that. He is very active on the whole blocking thing. That's right. So now I'm seeing there's a ton of people who are in the media who I'm getting tweets from who are blocked by Ben Roethlisberger. That is weird. I don't know if he just told somebody, like some sort of assistant, hey, just get off Twitter, if that's the case. That's a great point. Just get off Twitter if you can't handle that. And I don't know, I mean, you know what? How much work it is to block all those people? Very weird. I don't understand why Kevin Durant still uses a burner. All right. The Oscars, they were on Sunday, and surprise, surprise, they hit an all-time low. They were down sharply from the first hostless outing. As a matter of fact, it averaged 23.6 million total viewers, still a decent amount of people, but it's down 20% and 30% from last year's first hostless outing. I wonder how you could compare that to the Golden Globes when they have like Ricky Gervais, because there are people who actually tune in just because they know he's hosting. And I know that if the Oscars was to come out and say, hey, Chris Rock is going to be hosting, a ton of people would end up tuning in just to see what he had to say. But because there was none of that, and they were scared, and there was the whole situation with Kevin Hart, they end up going hostless, and this is what ends up happening. As a matter of fact, back in 2010, it had 41 million viewers of the Oscars. I mean, this used to be, like, number one was always the Super Bowl. And then the second most watched thing on television always used to be the Oscars. And now, looking at that rating of, 23 that they ended up getting? Like, I bet there's NFL games that have outlasted that ended up getting a higher rating than the Oscars. So congratulations to them. Speaking of NFL games, did you hear about the NFL is now exploring the possibility of using flex scheduling for Monday night football? Now, that's obviously weird for the players because it doesn't just move the time of your game. It moves the day, especially when you're the away team. That would be fairly strange, but I like it. Anything you can do to improve the quality of Monday night football, I'm all in on.
Maybe that's been like the problem. They keep looking for, you know, new commentators every year. Maybe the games have just sucked.
You know what? I forget if it was this year, boy. It's amazing how.
So you didn't like Sean McDonough.
Sean McDonough sucked.
But the thing is, though, is I listen to him now. He's awesome.
Well, that's the thing is he's not. First of all, he's not in his element. And Sean McDonough and like Gruden hated being there when McDonough was there. And maybe a lot of that's not McDonough's fault. Yeah. But I mean, there was.
Yeah, you
were
watching
chemistry.
The game for the entertainment factor. Who's on now? Is it?
It is Booger and Joe Tessitore.
Yeah, and Booger.
Which, by the way, I used to not mind Joe Tessitore, and the minute somebody said he is Sarge, it drove me crazy. You close your eyes, Joe Tessitore and Sarge have the exact same voice. They're the same human being. But if you flex Monday Night Football, that's a great idea. I'm hearing nothing but great ideas right now as far as people trying to change baseball and people trying to change the NFL. I got no problem with the whole way they're trying to change the playoffs for baseball. Good, fine. Not many people are watching it anyway. Do what you can to get the ratings up. Flexing Monday Night Football, I'm all for it. Absolutely. And take some notes from the XFL. Do the microphone in the replay booth so I can hear you talk through why somebody's getting a penalty. I love that. Don't even mind the kickoffs. I do enjoy the extra point not being a kick, and you can have a choice to run it in from three different places. 1 point from the 2 yard line. I think it's 2 points from the 5 yard line. 3 points from the 10 yard line. I like that. They're never going to change that part of it. But man, I'm all for that.
Who'd you want? Would you want Tony Romo in there?
A Monday Night Football?
I don't think he's entertaining. He's
gotten better. He's gotten better. It's better than Booger McFarland. Booger McFarland's not bad. He's just not good. You know what I mean? He's just kind of there. And as far as Joe Tessitore, the Sarge thing drives me crazy. Ian Eagle would probably kill.
I think he's good. This weekend when they had Steve Levy talking gambling, like on XFL.
Well, of course you did.
And who's the old kicker, their punter?
See, they need McAfee in there.
McAfee, there you go.
See, Pat McAfee is an excellent talent.
He's awesome on WWE. So, like, he's a great commentator.
Yeah, no matter what he's underused. If you put Pat McAfee in the color spot, you can make – you know what? Pat McAfee, Ian Eagle. That's a great matchup.
Yeah, Ian Eagle's great at what he does. I like Steve Lee, a local guy, obviously, but got that ESPN tie, can joke a little bit. I think he'd be a good fit, but
sure.
I don't know if ESPN would go.
Hey, Rich, just real quick, and Joe, could it be, and aside from the matchups that may not be the greatest, could it be that you're worn out by Monday Night Football, like of the weekend? If it is a Thursday, if you're a college football fan, you've got the rest of the weekend, and you have a full day on Sunday, and you have Sunday night. Monday night just is like, wow, I need a break. And maybe it's not true. The person or the announcer or the color commentator.
Well, Ryan Johnson just said, great, so now I buy a ticket to a Sunday afternoon Pats game, and they're going to make me go to a Monday night game on short notice instead. F that. I mean, that's part of it. But you know what? I watch a lot more games at home than I do going to the games. So for me as a guy who's going to sit and watch at home, I'm all for it. Because what percentage of Monday night football games are games you really want to see? Like maybe 30%. On a good year, it's like 40%. And the rest of it is just like, all right, well, these teams, you got to throw them in there. Now, if they do flex those games, will that mean that not every team gets a Monday night football game? You know what I mean? Because if you flex, because I mean, the way it is now is that every team's got to play a Monday night football game. If you flex it, wouldn't that change that?
Yeah,
is that true, Rich? Because for a while, wasn't Buffalo didn't they not have a Monday night football game for years
years? Isn't it now every team has to play Monday night football?
I thought every team had to play Thursday.
Maybe I'm getting the two confused.
Because they needed to get every team on there.
All right. Well, either way, there you go. So congratulations to the NFL. I've got no problem with them trying to put a better product on Monday night. No problem whatsoever. All right, 617-779-0985. We'll do a crossover with Zoe.
Morning. Good morning. How we doing? Good. No complaints. Morning.
Good morning.
I'm going to save that for my son. So, son, you're never going to be that. Okay?
You're never going to be that happy?
I don't want you to be that. There's no, like, he missed a happy train at some point. Like, I don't know, man. When a person's built, you know, I look at the pie chart.
Okay.
Yeah, 60% serious, 30% jack around. Yeah, 7% wild man. He's got no wild man. He may. He's crazy, but he's like that weird crazy, you know? Sometimes I'll catch him staring off into the distance.
Like Dan Roach?
Like, yeah, some of like Patriot practice. I'm like, you really don't want to be here. You want to be down in spring training.
Well, the best is...
Hey, Pedro, how you doing? Hi.
That was... It's just like positive.
Amazing. It's amazing.
Pedro, I need a little optimistic Pedro. Give me something, Red Sox fans.
Yeah. Everything is going to be all right.
I mean...
Don't worry.
That sound, while just Rome is burning all around him at Red Sox camp, is just awesome.
I tweeted him, did you change your pants after that? It's like when Mike Reese sees Brady come in. Reese is there 8 hours
said
early.
Said the same thing, man.
Every Sunday. And then when Tom Brady comes by, if he ever gives Reese the fist pump, or what's up, buddy? Reese, like, it's like, oh, my day's made. You know, bring two pairs of trousers. Reese changes his when Brady talks to him, and then Dan when he talks to a member of the Red Sox.
Oh,
it's like that. It's like the red carpet. Oscars, not really. It's a tarp against the fence.
It's kind of like the red carpet at the Oscars.
How are you guys?
Morning.
What's going on, man?
Right. Who's the poor Channel 4 photog that has to sit there and laugh at his jokes?
I think that's Joe Giza, right? I think that's him.
Oh, poor Giza.
Well, either way, he's in his happy place, even though he's in denial about what's going on around him. It's just an awful spot.
So I listen to you guys on the way in, and as I do each and every day, and you keep teasing that Fred will be here tomorrow. Like, you know, hey, Fred will be back tomorrow. How do you know that if Fred's sick?
I don't know that.
Oh, okay.
I don't know that Fred will be back.
But you're keeping it open-ended there.
Sure. Yeah. Matter of fact, did I say that he will be back? I think I might have said hopefully he'll be back.
It's kind of like it's got some inside knowledge here that maybe he's all right.
No. Listen, when he texts me and says that he's sick, I take his word for it.
I know. You guys got that thing going where it's word.
I think from this side of things, someone tells me they're sick, I'm not calling them out.
No, because, you can't call
because
him
because
out.
Because if I say I'm sick, you better not call me out because that's something that I'm not gonna BS you, and I'm sure he's not.
Right, Dan? You're sick. You're sick. You can't do nothing.
Sick is sick. Yep.
How long have you been doing radio in Boston? Like morning drive. We're listening to morning drive or afternoon driving it. He's
30 years?
He's not a lot.
What's that?
He's not a lot for that. Yeah.
No, well, you know. Maybe he's got. I'm not.
How many years though? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, I mean, I've
been at it for. I've been at it for a while.
Sick days. I gotta check my ADP here. He's got something figured out that we don't.
I know. I calculated it. So
it's really starting to piss me off. Because I'm thinking I'm getting hoodwinked here. But now we got the over and under, so we're exchanging money in the other room. Because normally, working with the best lead-in show in the city that Toucher and Rich are, and they basically hand us a 12 every day. We have to decide what we want to do with that 12 or 14.
So you have
we're in the back. We're in the back exchanging money as to Hardy. What day will Rich bang out now? Since Fred's out today, I got Rich's Friday or Monday.
You have Fridays? Oh, you have Friday?
No, because that's two. That's two.
Well, Monday's a holiday. Remember, Monday's a company holiday.
When's the last time I banged out?
Oh, no. There's...
When's the last time I banged out?
I don't know.
I'm trying not to keep track.
What's that?
Monday's a holiday.
Monday's a holiday. I will be gone Monday.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll be gone Monday. So it's a holiday.
He's going to...
No, I'm not here.
I'm here.
Yeah, I'm not here.
Oh.
Who am I on with?
You're on with
Joe Murray. It's going to be you and
this
Joe Murray.
Good.
Did that upset you?
Yeah.
We're going to do some scheduling here.
That would have been fun, though.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be here. That would have been a good time.
Rich, didn't you say that you were working Monday?
Then I went back and told Rick I wasn't.
Oh, okay.
So he kind of went back and forth. But no, as of this past weekend, I'm not going to be here on Monday.
Yeah. So, we prayed for Fred today. I mean, Fred's real sick. And
What's the over-under next time I'm out? Because I don't bang out that much.
You know what? I'm going to give it mid-March. I'm going mid-March. March 14th.
Because Fred's off all next week, so.
Well, I'm going to be gone March 14th on vacation.
Fred's out next week, too, huh?
Yeah.
School vacation weekend.
Yeah. Well, I am, too. Yeah.
When's Zoe going to bang out? Zoe, when are you banging out? On a Friday or a Monday?
When I bang out, I'm legitimately sick. I don't know. Normally, I do, the Warrior Day.
Who bangs out the most at the station?
Oh, Fred.
Who's second?
Zoe.
I got to say Zoe. That's
really?
That's Zoe.
There you.
Yeah, it's all.
But you work multiple jobs.
I need to keep my mouth shut then. That's the perception. Holy cow.
All right. So, Zolak, what do you got going up real quick?
A little bit of everything. The baseball realignment or stupid playoff system. It's already stupid. I can't stand that sport. That make me hate it more. That, more stuff on Brady.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.